Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Keep that, just make that an issue of prayer if that's, we want to get there and believe that God is able to do that. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Give Pastor Marquise a hand.
Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We are here in the house of God one more time. And I just want to say thank you for everybody being here. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get this thing rolling tonight. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to jump into what I have to say. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to share your word with your people. Dear God, I pray that it would strengthen, encourage, build, nourish us in the most holy faith. Oh, God, allow us to know who you are on another level. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. For all you guys that do know, I've been preaching on a series called Back to the Basics. Amen. And we've been talking about going back to the basics as the kids are leaving. Amen. We are going back to the basics because that is the place we need to be. Sometimes you got to go back to learn, right? You ever, Tamron, if you ever forgot how to play something, sometimes you got to go all the way back, right? Hopefully you don't forget to ride a bike, but if you do, you have to go all the way back. And sometimes it's important for us to understand why these things are implemented. Amen. Today I was actually at a men's, it was called like just a men's get together. My brother Chamian was put together. It's called Real Talk, Men's Real Talk. And we were talking through different things today. And one of the things that really stood out to me was the fact that we were talking about animals, because, you know, men like animals, right? And we were talking about wolves. A wolf is only strong when he is a part of a pack. Okay, it is very rare that you'll see a wolf hunting by itself. Now, I don't know about you. My kids, they watch this Alpha and Omega. Is that the name of it? It's like these little cartoon wolf. You guys seen those before? And even in that movie, it shows you the pecking order of these wolves and their pack. If you are not a part of their pack, they're going to fight you, right? And it's very territorial. And why am I saying this? Because many of us, we may be Christians, but outside of the pack, we are not walking in the full strength that we can walk in. Amen. And today we're talking about, why do we go to church? All right. We're talking about going to church and godly fellowship. What does that do? Number one, just so you guys know, it immediately empowers you to become stronger. Amen. One of the things they did today was they showed the movie 300. Has anybody seen the movie 300? No, I haven't until today. I saw a little clip of it. And in that clip, you've seen it. They are at the gate. Somebody say the gate. And they say, they're yelling, we must protect this gate. We have to keep this gate protected. And what they did was they formed a battle line, and they had, just like Gideon, they only had 300 people to go against a whole crew of just a whole slew of people. And because they were in battle formation and they were in being in the pack. I'm going to ask you, are you strategic in being with the people of God? Are you strategic in saying, I got to get around other people who are with me that will lift me up, that will also carry me if I need to be carried, right? And will strengthen me when I need to be strengthened. Have you ever went through something and you needed somebody and nobody was there? That's one of the worst feelings in your life. man, if somebody could just help me, I don't know about you, maybe your car ran out of gas or something like that. And you're just like, if I just had one person, because I don't know about you, you can't push a. Some people think they can, but it's hard to push the car and steer it at the same time. You need somebody with you. And that's what the body of Christ is. Amen. So we're going to open up the word. I got a few passages that we're going to discuss today. But I remember when I used to work at the Union Gospel Mission, one of the first jobs that I had, we were working with kids. But before that, they have training sessions. And in this training session, they begin to talk about fellowship and what fellowship was. And the easy way that they put it, they said fellowship is two fellows or more in a ship going the same direction. Okay, so if I am in fellowship with somebody, what it really is saying is we are in the same boat, going the same direction, going the same place. Okay, as Christians, we should be in the same boat, going the same direction, heading where? Heading the same direction, but we should be heading towards what God has for us. Now, some people, I know sometimes church people get super religious about fellowship. Have you ever seen somebody get super religious about fellowship? Oh, you, if you ain't doing it like I'm doing it, then it ain't God. I can't be with you. But fellowship really is just being in the will of God. And guess what? The will of God for my life may be slightly different than the will of God for your life. And there's nothing wrong with that. One thing we talked about today is if you are on a team, you don't want. See, this is something that you got to catch. LeBron James is a great player. But if it was five LeBrons on a team, there would be a problem. LeBron needs certain people around him to be the best that he can be. If you just want to do things all by yourself and miss the fact that, hey, I got somebody else, that person right here that just stands in a corner ready for whenever I pass the ball to them, then you're missing the fact that God wants you to be part of a team. Somebody say, I am part of his team. Come on, say it like you mean it. Come on, I am part of his team. We got to get on the right track when it comes to godly fellowship. Now, what are some good signs of godly fellowship and what are bad signs? Maybe it's when somebody is, the Bible actually talks about it. There are people that are inside the body of Christ, right? But they don't walk in the ways of Christ. And the Bible even says this, that because of them, the body of Christ is ridiculed, right? Have you ever seen movies where a Christian's in a movie and for some reason the Christian in the movie is always a what? A hypocrite. Somebody that's not really living for God. How in the world did that happen when I think there's probably more people that are not hypocrites in the church than there are hypocrites. But because that they live that way, the Bible promised. Did you guys catch that? Promised that the church will be ridiculed because of that. Now, in that sense, maybe you know somebody that's like that. That doesn't mean cut them off. Try to, in a godly way, correct them. Say, hey, man, I don't think that's right, man. The word of God says this, and I'm not judging you. I'm not saying you're going to heaven or hell. That's not my job. God is the only one that does that. But according to the scriptures, that's not how we should be living. And do it in love. Now, they have two choices. They can stay in the boat that you're in, or they can be like, well, I don't really want to be in that boat. Let me go do this. Let me go do my own thing. But this is what fellowship is like. When you are fellowshipping with somebody else, there is going to be some correction to some degree. And it's not on, check this out. I don't know about you. Some people try to correct based on how they live. Well, if it was me, I would do it like this. And no, you're missing the fact that it's not about you. Okay, I am saved by God's grace. You are saved by God's grace, not by man's works, so that no man can boast, right? But the word of God does give us an outline on how to live. I haven't shared an Uber story in a long time because I don't drive people in Uber anymore. But when I drove somebody, there was a guy who lived a certain lifestyle, and I'm not even going to put it out there like that, but he asked me a question. What does God say about people that live this type of life? And I said, well, Do you want the answer that's really going to help you, or do you want an answer that's just going to make you feel good? Right? And that's two choices. Because I said, listen, if you think that you accepting Christ means you can do whatever you want to do, and I tell you something that's against that, you're not going to accept it anyway. So I said, if you want that, cool. But if you are coming in the body of Christ and you want to be a part of the body of Christ, there is certain rules and regulations that we follow to walk in the will of God. Right? And he was like, I've never heard it like that. But when you really tell them the true word of God says, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, there's a lifestyle difference. You no longer will be the same. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the theme scripture for our church, therefore, if any man or woman is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things, and what is the old things? The old ways I used to think, the old things I used to act out, the way that I used to even speak, the things I might even have heard, all the old things are gone, and behold, all things become new. Why does that happen? Because God wants to make you a better person. And when you catch that, you're like, wow, why wouldn't you? Who doesn't want better? Who doesn't want better? You would be foolish if I told you I got the best for you right here. And all you got to do is surrender the worst that you have. The Bible says he takes the ashes and turns them into beauty. He takes the foolish things and turns them into wise, right? He says even the foolish things of men, or even the foolish things of God, are wiser than the man's wisest moments. Catch that, because God has something for you, and when he has something for you, he wants you to share it with his body. That's godly fellowship. Ephesians chapter 2. And my question or my highlight for this is, what do you fellowship with? Because it's not always who, sometimes it's what. And we're going to catch that in this chapter, Ephesians chapter 2. Let me pull that up on my scripture right here. We're going to read this chapter, get through it. We're going to dig in. Somebody say, dig in. I used to say word when you got to say word, but we be having it on the screen so you guys could kind of chill. Now catch this. This chapter is talking about fellowship. All right. And it says, and you say me, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's a lot already right there. He made you alive when you were dead. He made you alive when you were worth nothing. Sometimes we in this day and age, they call us the millennials and even the younger ones. What's the ones under this? The Y generation. They keep changing. I don't know what they. But the millennials, they say the thing about millennials is they believe they have a spirit of entitlement, where I need credit for everything that I do. Now check this out. The gospel don't give you no credit. All right. Matter of fact, your credit. If you want to know your credit, your credit is shot. Okay, your credit, I don't know if anybody knows about a credit score, right? Your credit score, we was listening to a podcast, and this guy on the podcast, his credit score was like 400. And he was like, is that good? No, that's horrible. You ain't getting anything. Okay, if you go to a car lot, you are not getting a car with a 400 credit score. You're not going to pass. And guess what? In Christ, your credit score is not even 400. An 800 is a perfect score. And the only one that had a perfect score was Christ. But thank God that he gave us credit. He made us alive when we were dead. It says, you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now wins, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So what Paul is saying right here to the Ephesians is, you fellowshiped with that. the way that they used to live. It said you were basically following the course of this world, living in disobedience. Okay, this is why it's important, even for the children. I know we got a couple kids in here. You guys are getting older. It's very important that you don't model lifestyles of disobedience. Now, in the Bible says in the last days, children will be disobedient. Not only children, but grown-ups will be disobedient. That's why people have jobs and they don't listen to their people that run it. They think they can get away with anything. Even something as simple as a stop sign. I got a stop sign right by my house. I think Tamron was at my house, and one day I was like, man, bro, so many people don't even stop. They don't slow down. They just run straight through it. And I'm like, if I just videoed like for one day, I might catch close to 100 cars that don't stop at all. That's a spirit of disobedience. Thinking, oh, I don't got to worry about that stop sign. And guess what? I'm pretty sure it goes further than that. A stop sign is something little. It's not even hard to, it's not that hard to just stop for a second and then go. It's not. But the spirit of disobedience is prevailing in people's lives. The spirit of lawlessness. Amen. The spirit of lawlessness is at work. I was talking to another brother this week, and he was talking about one of the bad things about police brutality that we see, which is kind of weird because they magnify it so much, like it's happening all the time. And it might not be happening as much as we see, but they keep showing it to us. And what they teach black people, hey, cops don't care about you. So what begins to happen is they have a disrespect and a disregard for the civil leaders that are here, right? And as a black man, it's already there. Like, oh, boy, dude, what is he saying? You have to be careful, because what begins to happen is they run from them in fear. They begin to do different things out of fear because now they have no respect. Right? The president. Oh, here's a hot button. Even though you may not agree and I may not agree with all the things that he does, the Bible tells us to honor those who are in leadership. Okay? Now, as a man of God, what does that look like for me? That means I just got to pray for this man. Okay? I don't disrespect him. You're not going to see me talking about he looks like an orangutan or he, you know what I mean? All the different things people say that are not respectful. Even as Christians, we cannot fall to that trap. We cannot associate or fellowship with those things. Amen. It says, among whom you all once conducted yourselves in the lust of your flesh. What does that mean? Anything that I want, I go after. That's what lust is. Lust is a strong desire that rules you. Somebody say that rules you. If I have a lust for cars, I'm going to go do anything I can to get those cars. Right? If I have a strong lust for women, I'm going to do anything I can to be with these women. Right? If I have a strong lust for money, I'm just giving you guys examples. I'm going to steal. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to connive. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that money because I am ruled by lust of the flesh. Okay? That's what happens when you are under that. And guess what? How many people are fellowshipping like that? They're fellowshipping like that. It's not always who you fellowship with, it's what you fellowship with. It says they fulfill the desires of the flesh and of their mind. But God, somebody say, but God. Verse 4, anytime it says but God, that means God flipped the script. He had to turn it around because it said we were once like that. Even though you were saved, maybe you grew up in church your whole life, there was still problems in your life that you had to address. There was still the fact that you had to say, I am a sinner and I need Jesus Christ to redeem me from my own thoughts, from my own ways, from my own desires. Amen. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead and sinners, amen, in trespasses. It said he made us alive together. When you fellowshipping with something, you are together. So check this out. He took you dead, made you alive, and now you're together with Christ. And it says, by grace you have been saved. And then it says, and raised us up together. Somebody say together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, this is what I said earlier, you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared that we should walk in them. What? Remember, we talked about fellowshipping. We talked about being in a boat. But when we are walking together in the things of God, that's what we are fellowshipping in. Amen. There is a God created us for his good works. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. Have you ever heard somebody say that works don't save you? I definitely believe that. Works can't save you. Okay? Because the Bible just said earlier that what saves us? Grace through faith in Christ Jesus. But after that, somebody say after. When God turns you into that alive person that used to be dead, he's going to allow you to do great works. And why do we say that? Because Jesus even said out of his mouth when he left, greater works will you do than I've even did. Why? Because I'm going to leave the Spirit of God with you, the Holy Spirit with you. So there are works that God requires the body of Christ to walk in, but they're not from your own power. That's what we always got to remember. It's not my power. It's not by my power, but by the Spirit. We got the song, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit, God. We'll send your Spirit, God. All right, good. It says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, wait, what is Paul saying right here? You weren't even part of Israel. Do you guys catch that? You weren't part of the initial promise that God said, I'm going to save. Or basically, I don't know if you guys know what Israel. Israel means God save us. Right? That is who God created the initial covenant with. But Paul says, you're not even part of that. But God, being rich in his mercy and grace, you're not even part of that fellowship. But I'm going to set up a fellowship with you that you can accept through Christ. Because it says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, you weren't even considered for this job. Let's put it in that case. How many of us have put an application in and you're like, oh, I hope they consider me. Your paperwork came in and get that person out of here. Nah, he ain't worth it. He not on it. But God said, hold up. That's the one right there. The one that you threw in the garbage that you tried to shred and I blocked the shredder. The shredder got blocked. I brought that one out, or it might even be shredded a little bit, because I want to show you my power. God took a people that weren't part of the initial covenant, and he brought them near by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's fellowship. When you understand the fellowship, you'll get rid of the entitlement mind and understand that we together are what God wants. I begin to pray for different things like, God, I don't want to just see black people in the congregation. I start praying like this. God, send in a Mexican family, Lord. Lord, send in a Filipino family, God. Send in a Caucasian family, oh God. Send in a Samoan family, amen. Send in all these different people and let us embrace them with godly fellowship. And guess what? I've seen God do it. Send in an Asian family. I pray these specific things because we got to get outside of what it looks like in our own fellowship. Because man, in our religious mindset, has created certain fellowships. And it has to look like this, or it has to look like this. If that person don't look like me, I'm not fellowshipping with them. Right? Let somebody come in here that doesn't look like what you think, but they've actually given their life to Christ and you reject them. Guess what? You are hurting the fellowship of God. Okay, you are not the one that accepts or rejects. God does. Amen? Amen. Let's continue reading this chapter. It says, for he, Jesus himself, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. He came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access, somebody say access, by one spirit to the Father. So what is this saying? Jesus basically came and broke down not only sin, but the enmity. What does that mean? Enmity. When you are when you have enmity between one another, that's really a fancy word. Now we call it beef. Right? There's a problem between us. And usually when you have a problem, it stirs things up. But Jesus brought peace into that problem. And he says he has united us through the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of his Father. And that's a powerful thing. When we think about it, God allowing us to be united by his Spirit so that we, even us, because, you know, some of us are not from that lineage of Israel, like some of us are not, right? Some of us might, maybe. Some of us are not, but thanks be to God that he allowed us access. Somebody say he allowed us access. Now catch this. This is more about fellowship. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Catch that. You are not a stranger. When you are with people of God, I don't know about you. I've been places where with other believers that they may not even speak English, but I feel the Spirit of God. Yeah. I don't know if you ever, I don't speak a lot of Spanish, but I've listened to Spanish worship and I feel the presence of God. Yeah. Right. I don't even know what they're saying unless they say Jesus. Right. But I don't know what they're saying, but I feel the presence of God. Yeah. Right. It says there, you're not a stranger. You're not foreign. But God has linked us up with the Spirit, the saints and the members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows in a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, see, there's a couple things that happen. When you start to walk together, you start to look better. Right? There's nothing worse. And I try to say this with all respect. There's nothing worse than a church on one side of the street and the other side of the street, and they don't never talk. They don't never connect. They don't even pray for each other. But oh, he's part. Oh, but you know, I gotta fight over my members. That ain't God, man. That's not. That's Bloods and Crips. That's gang mentality. See, I was talking about the wolves. And in order for wolves to attack their prey correctly, they got to be in formation. Now, what begins to happen is they all start running and chasing. And while they're chasing, they're looking for one that's weak. But then they start creating, once they find it, they start creating hedges. And they start creating different angles to attack this animal, right? Now, I know I'm talking about attacking, but I want you just to catch this from here. Now, what begins to happen is they continue to close in and close in and close in. And then when they come over here, another wolf jumps out of nowhere and tries to make the animal go another way, right? And they keep doing that until they capture them. But what happens is if one of those wolves are out of formation, it messes everything up. And if you keep being a wolf that stays out of formation, they'll kick you out the pack. We can't mess with you. You keep messing up. We're not eating because of you. That's what begins to happen. And they will beat you up and tell you to leave. That's what wolves do. Now, we're a little more civilized, right? But guess what? You keep letting a wolf like that stay in the body of Christ. I flipped it. Messing with the sheep, messing the sheep up. God's not proud with that. He's not happy about that. We have to understand that we have to be together. We no longer can cause division, because guess what? The world, they get united about all kind of different things. I don't know how the world can be more united than we can be as the body of Christ. We're divided on color, right? Music, what we can wear, what we can't wear, right? What we can do, what we can't do. We find the stupidest things to divide us. But God is calling us to godly fellowship. He's calling us to come together, because the Bible talks about God coming together for a bride, right? I'm doing a devotional. Somebody invited me to talking about being the bride of Christ, right? And one thing about a wedding, you don't just show up to the wedding like, hey, I'm here. If you're getting married, you prepare, right? You get prepared. If you're a woman, you get your dress. It might take months. I don't know how long sometimes it takes them, but it takes a long time. This dress ain't right. This one, I'm not really feeling it. I like that one, but I wish it was like this. Because they only got one time. They should only got one time that this happens. And they're trying to prepare themselves. So they're getting in the gym. Oh, I got to run. I got a little bit of love handles. I got to get these off. You know what I mean? You're doing everything you can to get yourself ready, to prepare yourself. God is coming back. And if the body of Christ does not prepare themselves, and how do we prepare? We prepare by uniting. We prepare by uniting together, coming together. That's what the body of Christ, or what we call the church, is all about. It's about you recognizing that you by yourself, I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how big your prayer life is. I don't care how much you read the word, how much revelation you have. You by yourself doing that is not beneficial to the body of Christ. But when you connect with somebody, the Bible says one could put 1,000 in flight. Two can put 10,000. You see that math? 1,000, 2,000, 10,000. If you worked by yourself and you made $1,000, but if I told you can work together with somebody else and make $10,000, you would be a fool not to do that. Because if you split it down the middle, you're making more. The benefit of you working with the body of Christ or engaging with the people of Christ is bigger than the benefit of you trying to do this on your own. We got to be unified. Amen. I got a few more passages that I'll read, and we'll get out of here by 8:30. Let's go to Psalms chapter 133. And I actually put this in a song one time. It's a small chapter. But it talks about unity, and this is what the way God looks at it. He says, Psalm chapter 133. Behold, somebody say behold. I need y'all to speak. Say behold. Behold. Say it like you a Pentecostal preacher. Behold. Behold. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Basically, he says, look how good it is when people are together. All right. Now, I like to talk about sports because I like sports. You can have one team that has a whole bunch of individuals that just play together. Kind of like this year. I ain't going to name no teams, but I'm just going to say, you can have a whole bunch of individuals with individual goals that just play together, or you can have a team of individuals that play together and they have a common goal, right? When you have this team over here, what begins to happen is because if one of them are not reaching their own goals, they get upset. But if this person misses, maybe he might have some other goals, but his main target is to hit what the team is trying to get, and they're hitting that, he's excited, right? What has happened in the church is we got people with many different goals, right? I want to win souls, but I got to be the number one person in front. I got to be the one that talks. I got to, me, it's da-da-da. When God is just saying, play your part. Stop worrying about the platform. Stop worrying about who's in front. Are you willing to serve? Guess what? God doesn't just need people in the front. I'm going to tell you this. Just because you have people in the front, it doesn't make it look good. But when you got people operating in all different areas together, working together to say, man, we are here to build the body of Christ. That's the main goal. When you do that, God is pleased. So it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil up on the head, running down on the beard. Amen. The beard of Aaron. This is just, he's just describing it. Running down on the edge of his garments. Okay. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So wait, let me break it down. It says, when you dwell together in unity, there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, how did I do that? Because all of that was showing us what it looked like in the natural. Now, I don't know about you, but when the oil was on Aaron, anybody know about the oil being poured upon Aaron? First of all, the oil is always a symbolic symbol in the Bible of the Holy Spirit. So that was the way that the Spirit came upon him, and it said it trickled all down his face, his beard. They didn't just pour, you know, like we have the anointing oil right here. They didn't just pour this on you. All right. They might have had a big old cup. They had a horn, and they're going to dump this on you, saying that we are fully submerged in the Spirit of God, right? And when you saw that, it caused you to say, wow, God's powerful. They reverenced that to the degree that they realized that God is right there. And guess what? When we work together, that's how God sees it. That's what I was looking for. When we come together. So today I'm gonna end up closing here, but we must get in our spirits that us as the body of Christ, it is our job to be unified. It is our job to look out for one another. It is our job to pray for one another. And you can start doing that. I have everybody in our congregation and even people outside of our congregation. And on Wednesdays, I pray for them. for the different things that they have. On the other days, I pray for other things. But I wanted to make sure on that day I would pray for them. Because there was a quote that was today, the people you pray for, you become intimate with. When you pray with God, you are intimate with him. The people you pray with, you are intimate with them. And when the people you pray for, you are intimate with them. Meaning you are knitted with them. If somebody has a concern, don't let it just be like, oh, it doesn't matter to me. It's not my house. You know, I know we go to church together, but no, we got to get beyond that. We got to fellowship as God wants us to fellowship. Fellowship with the things he's called us to fellowship. And the number one thing he's called us to fellowship with is his son. Amen. And we have, once we were dead, but he made us alive with Christ. Let's be alive with Christ and do it together. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your word. I pray to God that your word would continue to build, continue to strengthen, continue to show us who you've called us to be, God. Allow us to walk in the unity of the Spirit of God, dear God, so that we can be all you've called us to be, dear God, and that we can impact this world with the gospel, with love, and with who you called us to be. Jesus, we give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip your hand up. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.